Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the STEM Files on Blog Talk Radio, where we highlight the best and brightest in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Brother Jabril, are you on?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Peace and blessings, everyone. How we doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Brother Dante, what about you?
Yes, sir. President, how's everyone?
Doing well, sir.
Awesome. All right, family, my name is, for those who are listening, I'm Tariq Muhammad, the Chairman and Chief Science Officer of Original Man Scientific. I have my co-host with me, the Vice Chair, Jabril.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Here and accounted for.
Right.
Ready to go.
Awesome, awesome. So this is actually a special call. We have all members of M3. And for those who are not familiar with M3, M3 is a group, a little group or a faction that a couple of brothers that are on the line and I started about 2 years ago to just work on projects that are related to our individual skill sets. So it stands for molecular, mechanical, and material. So Brother Jabril is your material science, represents material science, and Brother Dante, who is our guest tonight, represents mechanical engineering. So Brother Dante, I'm not going to speak any longer. I want to give you the floor. So just kind of introduce yourself and just give us a background of what you do.
Yeah, sure. So, well, like we kind of mentioned already, my name is Dante Muhammad. I'm originally from Philadelphia. I have four younger brothers. Actually, I'm sorry, three younger brothers. I'm the fourth one. from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I grew up there. I went to Muhammad's Islamic Academy when I was young. Pretty much from K through high school. So if anyone doesn't know what Muhammad's Islamic Academy is, it was actually like a Muhammad's University of Islam affiliate in Philadelphia. And actually, Brother Jabril attended that with me as well when we were children. So that's where I was for, you know, pretty much all of my elementary and middle school career. Afterwards, I ended up moving to Texas. And in high school, I attended Duncanville High School. When I was there, you know, it was pretty good. Went through freshman year into my sophomore year, and then after that, I ended up moving inside of the city of Dallas, Texas. So that wasn't my neighborhood high school no more. So I went to go ahead and finish my my high school online. So I finished. I think I had about 2.5 to 3 years to go. They gave me the entire curriculum, so I ended up finishing it in about a year and a half. Did that, got my high school diploma, and I graduated from high school.
Awesome.
college career. After I graduated from high school, I went to Community College of Philadelphia for 2 years. I was a part of a program there called the Center for Male Engagement, which pretty much helped students get acclimated to the college setting, college curriculum. Went through that, did that for 2 years, transferred to Drexel University. Was at Drexel for about like a year and a half. Ran into some financial troubles at Drexel University. So what I did was I decided to transfer to a school. At the time, I wanted to transfer to HBCU. So I was looking for different schools to transfer to. I was looking at Howard, looking at Tuskegee, looking at a couple of different ones. But ended up choosing North Carolina A&T State University because at the time I was a part of the National Society of Black Engineers, and when I went to a national convention, I met the A&T chapter, and they were telling me a lot about the school. They were telling me how good it was, and they were like 30 deep at the national convention. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So I talked to the president there, I talked to the senators there, whatever, and they were pretty much telling me about the school. So I guess after that, it was pretty much done. A year later, I ended up coming to A&T, and that was spring of 2015. And I've been there ever since.
Awesome.
I mean, while it's a long history.
Great. And wow, so I actually did not know that you completed your high school online. What was that like?
Yes, sir. Well, that was pretty different. Well, actually, it wasn't the first time I did that. So, 1 year at MIA, what we did was we kind of had a partnership or collaboration with PA Cyber. And PA Cyber was pretty much a, you know, an online school in Pennsylvania, and we pretty much took our classes online for a good year there. So I wasn't foreign to the idea. So, I mean, online school is pretty interesting because, like, you could kind of go at your own pace. So how it worked is that they had the curriculum, and then they would kind of release the class or whatever. They would unlock a classroom, let's say history. And then they would email me mail me the history book. And then I would have to go ahead and pretty much teach myself the entire time. And then I would go through, like, different modules and take different tests online. And then, you know, the grade that I received in that class was the cumulative out of all of my test scores. So that's how I passed the class to get the credit. Yeah, so that was it was pretty different, but it was cool.
Awesome. You know, it's funny. Actually, I did something similar to that when I was in high school. I had put at the time, my family and I were going through a homeless crisis. So it was actually affecting my ability to actually stay in school. So I ended up enrolling in an accelerated program where I finished high school in about 2 years, and I was able to actually graduate on time. You know, so,
right.
You know, there are differences, you know, in traditional high school, of course, compared to that. But what were some of the ways you kind of found your way around that in terms of just getting a head start into what you wanted to do in life?
Well, I guess it was mainly my mom. Like, my mom, she really kind of she never wanted to put us in public school. I mean, mind you, we've been in private school our whole life. So the public school system wasn't really up to par. So my mom was like, yeah, no, you're not going to public school. So I'm like, okay. So, you know, and that's just kind of like what we did. She just kind of found a way around it, to be honest. And it was just, you know, taking classes online. And then, you know, and obviously the disadvantages with taking classes online because you're not exposed to the same resources as, you know, some children who go to a traditional high school or traditional public school or whatever. So, you know, it kind of made it a little bit difficult afterwards to kind of, you know, secure funding for college or to find out, you know, what college I wanted to go to, et cetera, because I didn't really have that guidance counselor or I didn't have those particular resources to help me apply for scholarships or apply for grants or whatever. So that was the challenging part of the situation. So I kind of had to figure that one out by myself. So that's the part of the reason why I kind of went to community college after the fact, after high school, because, I needed to get some resources, you know. I needed to, needed to kind of figure out the whole college thing. And then on top of that, I was really young too. I mean, I was 14 when I graduated. So, I mean, my mom was like, "You're not going to university." She was like, "You're not going to the university. Like, you're going to go to CCD." I was like, "All right, sure." So yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting that at 14, you know, a lot of some parents will actually let their child go early or some sort. But that's and you know, you can actually see where she was coming from in terms of, you know, at that age, not, you know, being, you know, not being willing to actually send you to university at that time, you know. So it was definitely good that you were able to get, you know, the resources you needed.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Very true.
Awesome. Cool. So, in terms of, you know, mechanical engineering, what was your initial attraction to engineering just as a field in general? And then what kind of drive gravitated you towards the type, which is mechanical?
That's a good question. So when I was younger, I always knew I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to be an engineer since I was about 6 years old. So I kind of knew I was wanting to do engineering. I wasn't really sure what type of engineering I wanted to do. So when I was a child, I knew I kind of liked computers. So I was like, computers are cool. I think I want to build computers or maybe even program computers. So I was thinking about computer engineering. So for a while, even when I went to community college, I kind of found out that it's like, oh, well, either you're doing computer engineering or you're doing computer science. You're not really doing both. So I'm like, oh, that sucks. That's not fun. So I was like, well, I'm going to try the programming thing, and I'm going to do computer science. So initially I was computer science. I took maybe about 2 programming classes. It was pretty cool. It was very unique, very different. I was really good at it. But something about it, I just couldn't see myself doing that for the rest of my life. Sitting down at a computer coding, I was like, I mean, it's cool when the code works, but the whole process up until that point is really, really excruciating. And I really couldn't see myself doing that for the rest of my life. So I was like, well, I still want to stay in engineering, obviously, but I have to kind of figure out what type of engineering I'm going to do. So right. I'm not really sure what it was, but I kind of thought to myself, I'm like, well, I'm pretty good with, like, you know, mechanical stuff, you know, breaking things apart and putting them back together. That was one of my hobbies I liked to do when I was younger. A quick little side note, it was funny. I tried to fix my PS2 a long time ago, and, you know, it just didn't work. Well, I broke it apart because, like, I think something was wrong with, like, the disc reader. So I took it apart. I was following the instructions, and then I went to go put it back together, and, like, apparently, like, the ribbon, like, detached, and, like, in the instructions, like, if the ribbon's detached, it's over. I'm like, oh, my God. So that was really crazy. My dad was so mad at me because he's like, nobody told you to take it apart. I'm like, I couldn't help myself. But anyway, that was one of my hobbies when I was younger. So I'm like, well, if I like to take things apart and put it together, I should probably go mechanical. And that was my thought process. So at community college, they didn't really have a specific engineering. They just had engineering science. So I switched from computer science to engineering science. And that wasn't a really big switch because all the prerequisites were pretty much the same. Calculus 1, Calculus 2, Calculus 3. I think the only class that I didn't have to take was linear algebra, which was a blessing because linear algebra was terrible. I hated that class.
Woo!
Man. So,
oh, wow. Mm-mm. Okay, cool. Jabril, you have anything?
Yes, sir. Dante, you still there?
Oh, I think he cut off.
Yeah, it sounded like he had cut off. Yeah, because he was talking. It sounded like
his call just dropped. Yeah.
Okay. You want to put him back in real quick?
So, yeah, let's see if he can call back in because the studio's telling me his call dropped.
Okay.
Let's see if you can get him back in.
Appreciate
how was your holiday, bro?
Family.
Oh, there you go.
Good. Definitely good. Are you there? He's there? All right.
Yeah. It was good. I definitely enjoyed it, man.
Yes, sir. Man, it was weird, too, because when he kind of ended on a weird note.
Yeah,
I thought that was
strange. I'm like, wait, is that it?
Right.
All right, let's see if we can...
On the road, too. Energy was high.
Yeah, I just remembered that. There you go.
Apparently, I lost.
All right,
I lost service. I'm driving back home.
Okay,
it should be good,
good
now, though. Yeah, I'm on 95. Where were we at? Oh, I was saying in terms of mechanical engineering, right? How do I have to take mechanical engineering?
Right.
Initially, I was computer science. So
right.
When I transferred from computer science to engineering science, I took the first engineering class I took was a graphics class or graphic design or whatever. And that taught you how to read blueprints and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, this is like really, really fun. So ever since then, I just kind of stuck with it. I had to take another difference in the computer science and the mechanical engineering curriculum was the physics. I had to take physics 1 and physics 2. Now, initially, it was really funny because I was terrible at physics. Like, physics was the worst class ever. And, like, I was just really bad at it. And I actually failed my first physics class. And I had to retake it. And I took it the second time, and I passed it. But now at this moment, it was time for me to transfer to A&T. So I transferred to A&T. I retake physics again. I'm like, oh my god. But yeah, that's how I kind of went to ever since I switched and stuck with it.
Yeah, so, Doctor, you were cutting out a little bit. You still there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, you sound better now.
All right.
Want to make sure we got that through. Okay, yes, sir. So, a few things you mentioned. It's funny how you said you knew you wanted to be an engineer ever since you were six. And, you know, as we know, that's really profound in terms of knowing what one wants to do or one's purpose at 6 years old. So I just wanted to throw that out there really quickly. But I wanted to talk specifically about purpose and knowing what one's purpose is at an early age or in general. So how much of your purpose is engineering geared toward? And can you talk about how or why it's so important to having a purpose and weaving that into being determined and persistent and moving forward with whatever it is that you want to do? How does that play a role in doing that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You guys can hear me, right?
Yep.
Am I good? Okay. So that's a really good question, man. And I was thinking about that not too long ago. And to be honest, I mean, children are very interesting. Like, you know, we have these natural gifts or we have these natural things that are already embedded inside of us from the moment we're born. But what it really takes for that to come out is a good environment. And I like to always revisit my time at MIA because I think that was a really good nurturing environment for me. And I think that if I wasn't in that environment, I probably wouldn't have known what I wanted to do. You know, like ever since I was a child, you know, I never heard things like, oh, Dante, you can't do this. Oh, you can't
do that.
Oh, it's impossible for you to do that. Oh, it's impossible for you to do this. I've never heard those words when I was a child. So, I mean, everything was the complete opposite. Dante, you can do whatever you put your mind to. Dante, you know, you can be successful whenever you like, however much you want to be. I mean, you could be this, you could be that, you could be the next. And it was just like I had unlimited options, to be honest. And, you know, finding out that I wanted to be an engineer, I mean, I was just intrigued on how things worked. And I think that was just kind of like a natural thing that I kind of just discovered. Or the people around me discovered, you know. So one of the principal of MIA, Sis Aisha, she was really good with helping me kind of determine, like, where it is I wanted to go. I mean, she used to have me submit book reports to her, like, every week on, you know, what I wanted to be when I grew up, what that I want my career to be. After I figure out what I wanted my career to be, how do I get in that career, you know. And it's just that type of environment is really, it's really important with discovering, you know, your purpose because, you know, when you're a child, you don't really know what you want, you know. Like, and it takes, you know, the people around you to kind of identify those strengths and those characteristics that could lead to something. So, you know, I remember in the third grade, who was our third grade teacher? Sister Sheila, you're right. Sister Sheila, she was like,
okay.
Dante, she was like, you're so good. You're so good at math. You should be an engineer. And I'm like, okay, that sounds fun. You know, I go to an engineer, but yeah, sure. Like, but you know, she was like, you know, you're really good at math. You're really good at science. You should try and get a field that's, you know, related to math and science. I'm like, okay. And mind you, all of my teachers were like that, you know, because, growing up in MIA, it was a very, very family rich environment. I mean, all of the teachers that were there were also at the mosque when we went there on Sunday, you know, were also close to my mom and my dad. So, you know, it was a loving environment, you know? And I think it's that type of environment that's really, really crucial to the development of children. I mean, if children are in a terrible environment where, you know, they're constantly being told that they can't do something or they're constantly being told that they're not good enough or that, you know, the surrounding or their surrounding is telling them that they're inferior, I mean, you can't really expect a child to believe a lot in themselves if they're around that type of environment. You know, children's minds are very fragile. And, I think that that was a really, really big factor in me kind of knowing or guessing about what I wanted to do when I got older. So.
Wow. You know, that's key on so many levels. You're talking about an environment conducive to really bringing about a new mind and a new type of human being. You know, one of the biggest goals of the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, through the Honorable Minister of Spirit, kind of to create not only not workers, but those who are good citizens and really push the envelope on moving society forward in a productive and fair manner. You know, and I think that it's very important that you as a child not only understand that it's not just you know, you going to school is not something just that you do, but that you have a level of reverence for learning, but also see that those in other aspects of your life, whether it's your, you know, religious life or home life or whatever, are part of your education as well. So everything goes hand in hand, you know, and it's funny because that goes kind of contrary to, like, you know, the status quo where it's, children should kind of just be able to learn whatever. Or take a nap. I'm not going to put pressure on. But the thing is, if you're not impressing upon or teaching anything, something or someone else is. You know, it was a study done, I think, that, you know, they talked about the top five or so impact things that have impacts on children. It was like, you know, if it went from, like, you know, the home, church or whatever, and then, like, flipped to, like, social media, peers, all these things. So it's kind of like those that, you know, have or should or used to have a higher bearing on, you know, the aspirations or the I guess authority or like the push for children are kind of on the back burner now. And then you see kind of like a difference or a shift in priorities and things like that. So that's really key. Further on that, I guess how I had my question. Oh, man. Probably should have said it before I said what I just said.
Please don't take my question.
Don't take your question. All right. Well, how about this? I'm turning it back over to you, and then I'll go from there.
Sometimes we're on the same wavelength, so you might ask something I'm thinking.
No, just go ahead. Go ahead, because I legit lost my question. So just go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I got you. So, actually, family, for those who are listening, the reason I entitled this episode Self-Mechanized is because Brother Dante has always been one to be passionate about self-improvement towards community development. He's passionate about the study guides and different things like that. And these are just tools that we use to, you know, build up ourselves in order to maintain our communities. So what drives you, Dante, as a engineering student, what drives you to pursue mechanical engineering and use it to improve your community?
Great question. So, to me, engineering in general, to be honest, is not 100% in my mind or in my view, it was never 100% technical. You know, I mean, although mechanical engineering is a STEM degree, and you know, use it to solve different problems technology-wise, you know, in my head, engineering was always something that applies to everything in life. If you take the very root of what engineering is just the ability to solve problems. So if we take that definition, then that means that anybody can be an engineer. You see what I'm saying? If you're a fashion designer, you know, and you want to solve the problem of fashion, you're in fact a different type of engineer. You're a fashion engineer because you're solving problems of the fashion industry. So, and this could be applied to almost anybody. So when we look at our life and we look at our community, you know, there's different problems that plague our community and there's different problems that plague ourselves. I mean, you know, we're human beings and we have, you know, we have a lot of, I like to call them defects. You know, we have a lot of, you know, improvement upon ourselves. So if we solve those problems, we in fact become an engineer ourselves. So, you know, that's why I love the stuff of it so much because it can apply to almost anything. I mean, I could be in a fluids mechanics class, or I'm going to be in a thermodynamics class, and I can see complete parallels between, you know, what we're talking about in class and, you know, the human body or life,
right,
or the universe, or you see what I'm saying? Like, it applies everywhere, because engineering takes the very fundamental principles of the world. You know, when you're talking about things like Archimedes' principle or Bernoulli's equations or Newtonian fluids and Newtonian mechanics or Newtonian laws.
Breaking it down.
These are all principles that are present within the world, that are present within the earth.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And if they're present within the world and they're present within the earth, then they're also present within you. One of the things that I really love about the study guides by Minister Farrakhan is that he takes a lot of these scientific principles or these universal principles, and he applies it to the human being, and he applies it to the growth and development of the human being he applies these principles into the growth and development of human beings so that the human being can become better, so that the human being can go towards their growth and development towards the Almighty Creator. And, you know, that's something that I think is very special and very unique, because people don't do that. You know, people study mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, civil engineering, and they just leave it at that. Okay, well, I'm learning this to build a building, or I'm learning this to design a rotor, or I'm learning this to build a circuit. Like, and that's where their knowledge stops. But they don't take the knowledge and they don't apply it in a universal way to where not only are you building civilizations, but yet you're building people. And, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan always tells us that, you know, it's not about the physical building of the civilization. It's about building the people, because if you build people, you will have a righteous civilization afterwards. I mean, it doesn't take nothing to build a building. All you need is the science. But the hard part is building the people to build the building. That's the hard part. So, you know, if you can get that, then you got everything else. So that's why I take a liking to that, because you don't get that in school. You don't get that in these different degrees of learning. You don't get that when you go for your master's, when you go for your PhD. This world doesn't teach you how to build people. And that's one of this world's greatest limitations. So to be able to take the technical degree and couple it with that people building, couple it with that community development, I think is something that I think everyone should aspire to and should strive to do. Because the more we can understand the science, and the more we can understand how the universe and the world and all of these things work, the better we understand how we as human beings operate, and the better we'll be able to deal with each other. So that's how I view it, and that's why I love engineering, because it applies to all aspects.
So it's funny because y'all.
Okay, bro.
No, I was saying it's funny you mentioned don't take your question, because you didn't take my question, but you took the topic. Because I was going to go to the study guides too. That's funny. But I was going to talk about particularly one of the study guides entitled Building the Will. So as we've been studying recently, for those who don't know, people listening, we have study group on Fridays in the Mission Islam, and one of our study guides is titled Building the Will. And we're taught that when one builds the will, the main food, or one of the main foods for the will, is desire. And when one tries, how does one build desire? And it's funny because in order to, like, have the engineering mind or STEM-based mind and take action to go beyond just, I'm going to just pass this class, or I'm just going to get a good job, you have to have a high level of desire, but the desire has to go beyond just oneself and actually have a greater farther reach. So how does one cultivate that level of desire, and what should they be, what should we as STEM individuals be aiming toward or be thinking about in order to really move forward in a really impactful manner?
That's very, very good. I would just say, in my opinion, or in my eyes, one crucial way to building desire is study. And when I say study, I don't necessarily mean reading textbooks or practicing for exams. That's one form of study. But in another form of study, the way I see it is that you can analyze or you can view or you can meditate on different events that happen inside of the world. So, for example, the Flint water crisis. When I looked at that, that increased my desire to become an engineer because when I looked at that, I said, wow, our people don't have clean water. You know what I'm saying? We should have a group of, you know, engineers that look like us to be able to go down there and to solve that problem. We should not have to wait on the government, or we should not have to wait on somebody else that does not look like us to solve our problems. That was something that increased my desire to become an engineer because I saw a problem. I'm like, wow, like this is crazy. And through the studying that problem, studying we as a people don't have things like that, you know, by studying how we're so dependent on others, that through that study, that increases your desire to want to solve those problems even more. So that's one of the that's also one of the reasons why I joined the National Society of Black Engineers, because that is kind of like I like to consider it a prelude to what it could possibly be. NSBE can be a lot of different things, but to me, it was kind of like a prelude of what we as Black people can produce, you know, here in America, and using our STEM mind. You understand what I'm saying? So that was just kind of one example. I mean, there's many others, but that's just kind of one example that really, when you talk about increasing desire, man, I mean, that study is very, very important because the more you study something, the more you fall in love with it, you know? And that's why it's very difficult. When you start growing as a human being, you start to understand that you can't really hate a lot of things because the minister teaches us that if you hate something, then that means that you haven't studied it long enough to find the value of it. So,
come on.
You know, when you start studying things that you may think that you dislike, you start finding things in it that's like, wow, I didn't know that was there, or wow, I didn't know that that was in this. I didn't know that this was a part of that. Now I kind of have a like for it now because I see something in it that is of value to me personally. You know, so that study aspect is very, very important because it increases the love. And when you have increased love for something, then your desire grows as well. And that, in turn, builds your will.
Study.
Wow. Absolutely.
All right. Tariq, you want to take it from there? Or I got another question. You always got questions.
Oh, go ahead, bro. Take it away.
Right. So just continuing on that study, you know, so we understand that, you know, there are multiple sciences, so not just engineering, you know, molecular type sciences, other types of sciences. So there's also sciences of, you know, for example, like mating and particularly like business, right? So as one who knows you to be a business mind, I guess what if you could share maybe with how you've gone about maybe studying that science of business and what are some ventures or some things that you have aspirations for going forward in these, you know, next couple of years now into the future?
Right, absolutely. So going back to one of the earlier previous questions or answers, what I mentioned that engineering is all about solving problems. This is what, if you look today, a lot of the head business people, they have an undergrad in engineering. But why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because engineering how to solve a problem. You see what I'm saying? Now, you can take that methodology of problem solving and you can apply it anywhere in the world. You can apply it to finance. You can apply it to business. You can apply it to law. You can apply it to teaching. That's another reason why engineering is such a highly desired degree, because they can put you anywhere and you'll be able to learn because you know how to solve the problem, that particular thing. You don't have to be an expert, but engineering doesn't teach you how to be an expert. Engineering just teaches you how to gather the resources so that you can get all the parameters and you can solve the problem.
So say that again. Say that one more time, because that's great. I like that.
Engineering teaches you to gather the resources so that you can fill all the parameters and use those parameters to solve your problem. And that's all engineering is. So applying it to a business sense, You see what I'm saying? You know, I think engineering and business go hand in hand. And I want to go back to school to get my MBA because I think that that would be very beneficial for me. But in terms of my personal thing of what I want to do in terms of growing business, in the long run, I would actually like to have a firm that's dedicated towards designing and installing HVAC systems. And the reason why I have kind of like a passion for that, I guess, is because engineering is very, very vast. It's very huge. And usually when someone picks engineering, they kind of pick a specific thing to kind of do. But for me, I chose that particular realm, HVAC, because one, I kind of like studying energy and how energy moves. So I actually want to help design like renewable energy HVAC systems. So, you know, using clean energy, green energy, solar, hydroelectric, et cetera, just kind of to use that to kind of purify air. You know, when you walk inside of a building, you know, what's the air quality? Is the air really rich or is the air really poor? And that corresponds to, you know, your health, essentially. You know, the type of air, and we know that, you know, through our studies that, you know, this world is polluting the air. It's contaminating our air. So every time we go outside, every time we're breathing, we're inhaling, you know, chemicals and things that are all that's messing up our, you know, our body. So sure. I kind of want to solve that problem by you know, creating, you know, clean energy systems through you know, HVAC mechanical engineering. So that's what I kind of want to do in the future. I'm pretty sure I'll have a lot of small business ventures on the way because the way business works is that you don't really kind of get up one day and be like, hey, well, I'm going to make this great, fantastic business. You know, a lot of businesses, they get started, but I think it's the percentage, like 80% fail in the first 5 years. So businesses is one of those things to where it's like you start it and then it fails and then you just have to keep doing it again. You keep doing it again and doing it again until it succeeds. And I think the way I think it's very interesting to think about it because the way I see, you know, my life kind of progressing is that I'm building up that type of resilience. You know, there's been many times where I've, you know, fallen down, I had to get right back up, or I had to take off of school because I had to work to pay off the, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's been a lot of up and downs, and it's been a lot of trials. But I think that's all in preparation for the future. So I'm not sure what business venture I'll embark on in the next year or two. But I'm pretty sure there will be one because I'm in the process of really thinking about it and figuring out what I really want to do in terms of, you know, just kind of my own business venture. So I've been thinking about it a lot. I'm not really sure what it is yet, but I'm sure it'll come to me soon. We'll just see how it goes. But in the long run, that's eventually what I'm going to do.
And we look forward to helping you as best we can and working together going forward, Dante.
That would be great.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. But Tariq, you want to take it from there? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm thoroughly enjoying the show so far. I know other people who are listening are as well. We're receiving some very positive feedback. We actually have a few callers in just a few minutes. There's someone that's going to call in and ask a few – not call in, but kind of – well, yeah, call in and ask a few questions of Dante. But I kind of want to go into your extracurricular activity while you are at North Carolina A&T. Can you tell us more about NSBE and what they do?
Yeah, sure. So NSBE is great. I remember when I first joined at Drexel, and it's really interesting because I didn't even want to be on the team.
Dante. Dante?
Yeah, I think it's a reception because his call is still here, so he might just need to get out of a bad area.
Okay.
Yep, dropped again.
All right, well, let's see if he get back in. Thank you for your patience, family. Okay. I had a little technical difficulty. Yeah, this is an awesome show.
What did he say?
Absolutely.
Well, he was breaking down engineering is. Oh, there he is. Uh-oh.
All right, here we go. That's it, back on. Can you hear us? Okay, there we go. All right. So what were you saying, bro, about Nesby?
Right. So I was saying we had a speaker from DuPont. I was a pretty active member coming to the meetings and stuff like that. And we had elections coming up, and she pulled me to the side, and she was like, "Hey, you should run for the on the executive board." I'm like, "Who, me?" No, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm just focusing on classes right now. She was like, "No, you should really do it." And I'm not really sure what prompted her to tell me this, but I said okay. And I think I applied for the chapter senator position. And I think the president at the time, he just kind of submitted my name in a hat. And I'm just like, okay. And long and behold, I was a chapter senator. I was a chapter senator for the next year. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm in it now. I might as well put my best foot forward. So this is kind of just what chapter senator is. Chapter senator is kind of like a liaison on the chapter level. So in NSBE, we have the National Executive Board, the Regional Executive Board, and the Chapter Executive Board. The senator is just kind of the guy that keeps track of all of the legislation that's going on throughout the year. So any changes to the regional bylaws or any changes to, like, national bylaws or anything like that, the senator is supposed to kind of keep track of that and communicate that to the chapter. So that's all I was pretty much responsible for that year. So that year was a really good year. We had a blast. We had a new... this was the year we were trying to really get the chapter up at Drexel. So that is pretty much our year where we were really active on campus. We grew the chapter a lot, and that was just kind of like our year there, which was really good. So after that, I ended up going to the regional executive board. I applied as regional parliamentarian, and that was my first experience on like a regional board.
Oh, breaking up a little bit, sir. You there? Uh-oh. Hello?
Service.
Doctor, you good?
I'm okay.
A little bit. Right. In and out.
In and out, in and out, in and out.
Like every time we want to roll, too.
Yeah, like, okay. I think I'm back, though, right?
Yeah,
we can hear you good.
Okay, great. So yeah, I was on the regional executive board. Was there for a year. That was really interesting. Got to see the society from a different perspective. So I guess I'll take now to kind of describe what NSBE does. From what I've learned from being on the regional board is that NSBE, obviously the National Society of Black Engineers, is dedicated to increasing the number of culturally responsible Black engineers who excel academically, succeed professionally, and positively impact the
community. Yes, sir.
I can see that's ingrained in my head. Like, I haven't said that in years. But anyway, but that's the mission. That's the mission of NSBE. And you know, we really try to focus a lot of our programming on getting or matriculating, Black students through college, getting their engineering or STEM degree, and go ahead and getting a job, at whatever place they would like, after graduation. So that's kind of like the primary focus of matriculation through engineering. And because that's kind of like the idea, we form a lot of programming around it. So we have different operating zones. So we have the admin zone, the program zone, communication zone, finance zone. And we all kind of work collaboratively to make sure that, our students are prepared for life after college, making sure that they're securing internships, making sure that they're developing themselves technically while they're in school to kind of gain that, technical acumen so that by the time they graduate, you know, they'll be up to par when it comes to industry standards. So I was a regional parliamentarian. Pretty much what I was doing as senator, just on a regional level, I was in charge of making sure that the senators actually got the information that was happening in a society, changes that were being made, different board changes that was possibly happening, different changes to what it means to be a member, whether, you know, we should have an extra position on the board or whatever. Also, a part of my duties was to help plan the regional conferences. We have two regional conferences usually, one right before school starts in August, which is our regional leadership conference, and one in the middle semester called the fall regional conference. At the regional leadership conference, we pretty much train our upcoming leaders for the year. So it's usually geared towards the top five, the president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and parliamentarian/senator. And we usually kind of gear that towards training them, making sure that they're pretty up to speed with whatever they need to know and, you know, helping their chapter out throughout the year. That's ROC. FRC is a much bigger conference. There we have a career fair. We have a lot of workshops geared towards whatever we may see fit for the year, depending on what the national and regional directives are. We can have anything ranging from how to build a resume to how to succeed in the classroom to life after college. It just all kind of depends on what the subject matter is. But that's, like I said, that's more of a larger conference. And one of my duties was help planning those two particular conferences. So, that's pretty much the gist of it. I was regional parliamentarian that year. Then a year after, I was regional academic excellence chair. That was in a different zone. That was in a programming zone. So that was a little bit different for me. Trying to implement programs throughout the entire region was very difficult. but I was grateful for the experience. And then after that, I just kind of took a back seat, went on a chapter level at ANC, started helping out the chapter there kind of like unofficially. I wasn't really on the board, but, you know, I would help out the board members kind of figure out what they wanted to do, how they wanted to do it, how we wanted to implement it. I was AEX for a minute on the chapter level, so I was doing academic excellence programming for ANC. Which was really good. So, yeah, that's pretty much my NSBE experience. Right now, I'm just kind of like a member. We pay our national dues and our chapter dues every year. But, that just gives you access to a couple of different things. You can go to the regional convention. You can go to the national convention. And then, you know, whatever else happens in between. You usually have a zone summit. So NSBE is broken up into six regions, but then those six regions are also broken up into different zones. So we're in region two. So inside of region two, you have different zones, danger zone, comfort zone, end zone, et cetera. So we have different zone summits that happen at a particular university. And there's some programming that goes through there. So, that's pretty much the gist of it. It's actually a lot. It's the biggest student-run organization in the country. Maybe even the world,
wow.
I think.
I didn't know that.
So it's really interesting. It's really, really interesting. But I love NSBE. NSBE is great. It's very, very close to my
heart.
But that's that's my involvement.
awesome. And if somebody wanted to know more information about NSBE, where would they go find that?
They can go to the NSBE website on nsbe.org. There's different tabs, I guess, or different areas for different people who may have different interests. So if you have like a son or a daughter that's interested in STEM, we have our NSBE Junior and Pre-Collegiate Initiatives, PCI we usually call it.
Yes, sir.
There's a area for that. We have, all right, Jabril was PCI chair for UPenn. we have our professional that you can get involved at. And, of course, if you're a college student, you can find, your nearest NSBE chapter at your, local university. So we have something for everybody. Just go to NSBE.org and just play around with the website.
Yes, sir. And then on that point, Virtual Man Scientific will try to move to make sure we can get a stronger – we've tried to move to make sure we have a stronger bond with NSBE at all levels, really, collegiate, pre-collegiate, post-collegiate.
try to have some links on the website as well as our other venture, the Ministry of Science and Technology, on that website as well. So I'll work with Tariq and others to see if we can get that, make that happen, because I'm already starting that on my end.
Yes, yes, let's get that done, family. That is, NSBE is very important to what we're trying to do, so let's make that happen.
Yes, sir.
All right, family, we have a guest that's calling in from Miami, Florida. She would like to ask you a question. Sister Bernice, can you hear me?
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Before I ask my question, could you all please give me the spelling for NSBE? I'm going to check out that website that you all just gave. It was NSBE.org?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yep, NSBE.
It's NSBE?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
The acronym.
.org?
Yep,
yes, ma'am.
Okay. Is it case sensitive? Does it matter how I type it in?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Wow, thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
It was interesting because when I logged on, I lost track of the time for the first few moments of the class because I'm in the thick of grading papers and getting ready for progress reports. And it was interesting because you all were talking about the study guides and how they help, I guess, how it basically helped you to, I mean, with your mindset with regards to education. And it's funny because as I was in study group Friday here in Miami, I was looking at different points to share with my students this coming Monday. I'm at a school where you know, it's our community, and their exposure to education has not been a good one. And so I've been with this group now for, this will be 5 weeks, trying to bring some positivity to them, trying to give them a good impression of education. And, you know, this experience has helped me to bear witness to the beauty of the Muhammad universities and affiliated schools, and how having a God-centered education really makes a big difference in your understanding and appreciation for learning in general. And what I wanted to ask, regarding NSBE, if there was anything, an affiliate or a contact or something in Miami in particular, because what I find, or what I have found, is that a lot of programs such as NSBE, you don't find those types of things here. A lot of the education is totally different. I mean, when you come here for education, it's like we are definitely at the bottom of the pole, the totem pole, and I think the most education I've gotten has been in the Nation of Islam, and it's helped me to even broaden my perspective of everything that I've been exposed to in school, in my college career. I was wondering if there was something in Miami, or if there was a possibility to establish something or a contact similar to, like, I know the Nation of Islam has different NOI, SA, like they'll do different things on college campuses, something that can be established in this school, which is it's a K through 12 private school, and they need exposure to things like this because, you know, in a class of 27 students that I have, 20 of them being boys, not only is there a shortage of teachers, but, you know, their exposure to anything of success is literally limited to just football. And that's all they talk about. And it's as if nothing else exists in their immediate reality that says, you know, success. And, you know, I was trying to tackle how do you I guess particularly boys. I mean, there's three gentlemen here on the line, and just trying to see how to get their mind thinking more scientifically, because they seem like they haven't even been exposed to enough science, which of course I'm definitely changing that as I'm there, but to get them to see how it would be more beneficial to them. I mean, so was it exposure to Nesby or scientists that got you interested in science, or was it, you know, like what happened?
Oh my God, Dante, you want to just go in on that real quick? I had so many things come through my mind.
I was fortunate enough to have, well, first my dad was an engineer, so that kind of helped out. But what kind of also helped was, you know, when you're a child, you just kind of start playing with stuff. So, you know, I was playing with Legos initially. And then I used to kind of mess with the DVD, the VCR. I kind of mess with that a lot. Then I would just kind of play on the computer and just kind of mess with that. So I guess initial curiosity just kind of came from me. How does this happen? You're breaking up a bit, Dante.
You got the bar back yet?
No, I
did. Okay. You can keep going. I think it's better now.
Yeah, okay. But it just kind of came from, like, initial curiosity. Now, I can tell you from experience, like, with my brothers are more, they like a lot of sports, you see? So it's, like, kind of getting to think scientifically is very difficult because kind of, like, you know, they're sports responded. But merging together. I mean, all sports is science, and science is really a fast-paced environment. Science is it is, you know. And I've noticed that sometimes you just have to be somewhere. I have interest. So I know when I was when I was on my board for Nesby, we used to go to different schools and we used to do like we used to help them like a STEM day or whatever, and they would have like a little project, and we would just kind of help them like along their project, and you know, kind of help kind of guide them along building it. And one of the things I noticed that children are super 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 smart. I'm like, wow, you're brilliant! Like, what is going on? You're like a genius. And it was really interesting because it was like, you know, once their mind gets rolling, like it gets rolling, and it's really amazing because it's like it doesn't stop, and they just keep getting curious. Like, well, how does that work? Well, if that's going this way, then how can that go this way? You know, and it's just like the questions that they come up with is so profound. So, you know, I would just say in terms of like getting them interested, just meet them where they are. If they like football a lot, then, I mean, it's really easy to apply science to football. I mean, you could talk about a lot of different things. You could talk about the air drag of the football. You could talk about the spiral. You could talk about the angle of throw. You can talk about impact. Like, there's so, so, so many things just in that sport alone that you can, as we say, science up. And I'm pretty sure that they will be interested in that too, because, I mean, if you're trying to score, you know, not a football guy, but, you know, if you're trying to get, you know, 50 yards or 30 yards, what angle do you have to throw the ball at to get down, you know? What speed do you have to throw it at in order for, you know, the person to catch it to make the touchdown? Like, so, I mean, it takes, you know, a lot of, you know, creative ability, but it's fun. I think it's fun, and I like thinking about it, you know, like that. My fluids professor, he always does stuff like that. Like, he'll be talking about a subject, and then he'll just go off on a whole tangent about some sport or some research or something that is random, you know what I'm saying? And he'll apply fluid mechanics to it. And it's actually really interesting because you're like, wow, I didn't even think about it like that. But, yeah, I'm sure, like, applying, you know, just kind of saying, hey, this is football, but did you know there was a whole bunch of science in football? And then just kind of go from there. And I'm pretty sure they'll be really, really interested because I know I would be.
Yeah, well, I did give them an assignment that I'm going to continue with, having them to look at non-science careers to see if they can identify how scientific thinking actually works with those careers, just to kind of get them thinking more about science. And I'm going to expand the project from there. But what I would like to, I guess maybe some direction on, I guess more black scientists, mm-hmm. so that they can see more that looks like themselves. And, of course, I'm applying and introducing that even to the concept of different scientists because they need it. They need it. And
right.
So we're exploring what the different sciences are, and it's a lot of work. I mean, they're geniuses. They're
right.
In class, and I guess a few of them learn how to make slime, and I mean they're sitting in there making slime in the class, and I'm just like, okay. They're like, can we do an experiment about slime? And I'm like, sure we can. And I said you're gonna have to explain to me what it has to do with science, of course, and then we'll absolutely do it. I guess just trying to give them more exposure to it and trying to figure out a way. But that's what brought me back to the question of, you know, is there an affiliate of NSBE here, something that I can find where maybe I can have a guest speaker or, you know, come and see if we can have a STEM day. I do have the ability to do that in my class, and I'm working on a few things, but I'm trying to get them just to even begin to think about science and considering science.
So right. If I may, so much stuff is going through my head real quick, just before Dante takes it back. So, oh, man. So first off, on affiliates, a big thing that you can do doing a Google search or getting a aggregated list of the universities, high schools, and even a professional level organization that you within your area of Miami, one of the biggest things is typically a lot of the universities, if not all of them, will have a NSBE chapter, and also some high schools have a junior chapter. So high school level, it would be good for high school students or people to come in, maybe do experiments or kind of talk about their road in NSBE to the students that you have. On a collegiate level, there's different chapters committees within a chapter that are geared towards outreach, pre-college initiative. I'm reaching out to the pre-college initiative chair specifically of any NSBE affiliate or at whatever level that you can, but it is their goal and their role to reach out and for K-12 to be able to increase what we call the STEM pipeline, right? And basically funnel students into the pipeline so they can pursue technical degrees. I know this because this is like what I did. This is my like domain. So
okay.
I'm really passionate about that. Also, I just had a wonderful idea. I think that, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talks about pooling our resources. I think it will be awesome, you know, with some time cultivated if OMS goes on tour. When I say that, it's like some of us can travel to these different cities, and what's better than seeing someone who believes like you and is a STEM representative to talk and to do interactive hands-on experience in front of you personally. So, for example, myself coming to Miami, or, you know, Tariq or whatever, like getting different people that represent us to come to Miami and have one who is closer to you than maybe another professional to actually speak and to do those type of things. And the last thing I want to say is you mentioned how to get them to think. So you kind of answered your own question in the exposure. Like, we going back to what we talked about, the study guides and will, the building desire, you can't desire that which you know nothing about.
So you have to learn about it first. You have to have a level of exposure to it first, and then from there on, be able to cultivate that interest. And then is it how much of a priority are these type of things for parents or for faculty or for schooling? Those that have our children's ear at those early ages, are we pushing the STEM agenda? Or are we pushing other things that, I'm not saying are bad, but are maybe not STEM? And last thing, not not downing sports. And so that like Dante said, meeting where they are. Okay, you like sports. Well, how can I pull STEM out of that so that you can say that can still be on the brain and not like, you know, it's just a sport. You don't need to be worried about that. So that's what I would say. But definitely getting in touch with going to Nesby.org, seeing the universities or schools or organizations, entities in Miami to see what connections you can make. And then we can even talk about trying to do some things where we do a little bit of travel. You know what I'm saying? Because I find that, you know, we have time or we prioritize what we want to. And I think this is an awesome opportunity to really get our feet wet, increase the OMS brand, but also do for our people what we say we should be. So, but yeah, I think I emptied out everything I wanted to say there. So
I appreciate it.
Yes,
ma'am. I've already let students know that, of course, that I love science. That, you know, I am a member of Original and Scientific. They're gonna get some exposure to that, definitely.
Yes, ma'am.
And they're actually asking for science. I don't think they've had a lot with it because what I'm finding is that because of how testing works, a lot of their exposure is to math and reading, but little focus is on science and some of the other subjects. And so
right.
I'm trying to figure out how to combine it. I'm meeting some difficulty, but where there's a will, there's a way. And I was just looking to get some more resources for them, where
right.
they can get some real exposure to science and professionals, because, wow, it's absolutely necessary. But I appreciate the information and yeah, they're going to be getting a lot of the study group, the study guides. It's going to be like study groups in there. So that, because it is absolutely necessary in education. It's like a, without that aspect of it, there's so much that's lost. Even with the idea of caring about education, where, you know, if you don't see how it applies to you and where you need it, and seeing yourself playing a significant role in anything at all, then the purpose for education is absolutely lost. Because if you don't feel like you're even serving a purpose, you know, and have a need for the education, then it's not going to benefit you. It's not going to benefit you. So, I mean, thank you. I'm going to look into some of those sites. And what would you suggest? I think this will be my last question. What would you suggest as a project? This group of students that I'm working with it's sixth grade, but they are behind. They are victims of the public school system. So these were children that were kind of like passed along. And so they're behind compared to where they need to be. So trying to get them to a certain level, but at the same time wanting to challenge them, what would you suggest as a fun, I guess, starter science project that could be for girls and boys? There are some girls in the class. There's mostly boys, but something that they could work on maybe as a fun starter project.
I would say I'm trying to think back. I think we did a like a little I wouldn't say a mousetrap engine car type thing. So it's like it actually sounds really simple than what it is. But like, you know, probably put together a car or like a sailboat or something like that. I think one of the ones that was my was the aluminum sailboat.
And that was pretty cool. And, like, just at 20, well, like, how come it floats? Or, you see what I'm saying? Like, what's the reason why it's floating above water? Another one that I did was, volcanoes are always fun. Let me see. Oh, gosh. The aluminum bowl, the volcano, the toy car, or the mousetrap car. I feel like there's, like, another one that I'm missing. But, like, yeah, like, the simple ones like that, like, those are really good to get, like, children, like, really involved. Because, like, it starts to pick their brain now. See what I'm saying? So they may design a car, like, maybe two wheels in the front and one wheel in the back. Well, why didn't your car go further? You see what I'm saying? Or, you know, well, your car went this far. Try to redesign it to make it go further. All right, well, why did the second design work and the first one didn't? Or something like that, you know? And it gets really fun. It gets really fun. Like, really, really fun. I mean, I wasn't even the one designing the cars, and I had fun. Like, it was fantastic.
Thank you very much. I'm definitely going to use some of those ideas.
Definitely.
All right. Awesome, like,
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Monique. All right, family. So we're actually wanted to add to what everyone was saying in terms of how to get them more interested in science. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, wonderful. One of the things that works, especially, you know, in terms of methods I've used, was showing them the benefit of being in that career, you know, how you can take care of your family with it, how you can transform your own life with that career, you know, and even if you were to create something that will contribute to that science and how it can benefit you financially and different things like that. So those are just some of the methods that I've used that have worked to get young people who are inclined to sports or entertainment to get them more interested in science, just not only as a career, but as just something that they can do on their leisure rather than, you know, playing video games all the time or what have you. But like Brother Dante was saying earlier, there's a science to everything, you know, so there's no reason why if a child likes something, there's no reason why you can't extract the science out of what they're doing. So, you know, there's always more than one way to you know, get a young person involved in science. Is everywhere, so it's kind of inevitable, you know. But I just kind of wanted to add to that.
All yes, right.
Sir.
Ace Vitola, wonderful. All right, family. So we're actually coming up on the conclusion of the show. Brother Jabril, do you have anything you'd like to add real quick?
Well, you know, it's always something more to add, but I just want to thank you both, especially you, Brother Dante, on just giving us all that you've given us. You know, as much as I've talked to you over the years, over time, you never cease to amaze me with your level of study and also your level of humility when you speak on what it is that you know of, come into the realization of throughout your time, not only going as an engineer with the Nation of Islam. So I definitely appreciate you so much, sir. I wish you the best in all your endeavors and looking forward to our continued work together.
Yes, sir, Brother Jabril. Thank you so much. I appreciate you and Brother Tariq.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely,
yes, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. And there's one question we'd like to ask all our guests at the end of the show, and that is, what does science mean to you? You know, as an individual, as an engineer, as somebody that is in love with solving problems, especially those related to humanity, what does science mean to you just in general?
To me, science is pretty much the study of everything. The study of life, the study of planet, the study of mechanics, the study of whatever you can think of, I think, is what science is. You know, everything has a process. Everything has a way or something that it follows, and I think that thing is science. When you study how things grow, and when you study how things come to be, and when you study certain phenomena, you know, that thing that you're studying, I mean, it's a science. And so if I was to say what I would say, that science is the study of everything. And I was just kind of leaving it at that.
Absolutely agree. Definitely agree. Well, thank you again, Dante, for joining us tonight. I know it was kind of short notice on my end, but I really do appreciate you coming through.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it being on here. We're honored.
Awesome, awesome. Wonderful. Okay, so just kind of briefly, everyone, our next guest is for December 3rd will be Ralph Muhammad, Solar Technology Extraordinaire. He will be joining us next Sunday, December 3rd, 6 p.m. Eastern time. So be sure to tune in. Brother Jabril, any final closing remarks?
Well, you know how we always got to do it. This has been yet another cracking open of the STEM files with our esteemed guest, Dante Muhammad. I am your co-host, Jabril Muhammad, and this is our illustrious host, Tariq Cardiac Muhammad, as he is on Facebook. Continue to tune in to us, our family, OMS, Richard Man Scientific, trying to do major things moving forward as young people geared towards STEM and trying to leave a lasting impact on our community, making them safe and decent places to live. Love you all. Love you, like, all the best, and I hope that you all help us and see us through as we become larger than life and really push the envelope on the STEM fields.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Peace out.